This sin will lead to a bunch of other sins, covetousness. They're so intricately tied together, the 8th and the 10th commandment, deceit, envy, hatred for your neighbor. I mean, you really do see how all the commandments are weaved together. They really do all flow together so that when James says you break one, you break them all.
This week here on Abounding Grace, we take a look at the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th commandment. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon, continuing our survey of Exodus, has us right in the middle of the 10 commandments. And again, we're looking at the 8th, 9th, and 10th this week, and how interlinked they really are. Today, you shall not steal, Exodus 20 and verse 14, as well as Joshua 7, verses 10 through 26. Let's catch up with Pastor Chris Gordon now, shall we, for today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
I invite you to turn in the scriptures tonight to the book of Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, as we're continuing in the book of Exodus, our study of the Ten Commandments. We come to the 8th commandment tonight, thou shalt not steal. We'll read the entirety of the chapter. This is the word of the Lord, Joshua chapter 7. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Avon, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shabarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off your name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name? The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel's sin. They've transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes, and the tribe that the Lord takes by lot shall come near by clans. And the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by households. And the household that the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And he who is taken with the devoted thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near tribe by tribe, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought near the clans of Judah, and the clan of the Zerahites was taken. And he brought near the clan of the Zerahites, man by man, Zabdi was taken. And he brought near his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua, truly, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth beside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent. And behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of his tent and brought them to Joshua and all the people of Israel. And they laid them down before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the cloak and the bar of gold and his sons and daughters and his oxen and donkeys and sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with the stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word tonight. Well, as we press on in our study of the Ten Commandments tonight, we consider the eighth commandment, that you shall not steal. And stealing, of course, is taking what is not yours, that which God in his good gifts, he has gives to you. You have not been content with those provisions in your life. You've not been content with what he has supplied for you. And you have not only decided to reject his provisions, but then you harm your neighbor by taking from him or somebody else what God has given to them. There are so many implications of this tonight when we consider the eighth commandment. And in the final analysis, we really do see how foolish stealing really is. The Lord told us, of course, that we came into this world with nothing. And in a sense, it's all borrowed capital. You're all going out with nothing. But stealing has become a way of life for so many. The eighth commandment is much more damaging than we realize in thinking about what it exposes about us as we see stealing and theft make its way into society and into our own lives. Of course, you know that when it comes to the Ten Commandments, this is not the first commandment we ever go to, is it? In fact, it sort of gets the end treatment. It's the one we probably think least about. Damage is really incalculable when we think about how much is done because of the problem of theft. Do you realize how much this commandment is broken? Have you ever thought about it? How far reaching is the eighth commandment? Well, I think our Heidelberg does a wonderful job with this. What is God's will for us? And we'll look at this here tonight in the eighth commandment. He forbids not only outright theft and robbery punishable by law, but in God's sight, theft includes cheating and swindling our neighbor by schemes that are made to appear legitimate, such as inaccurate measurements of weight, size, or volume, fraudulent merchandising, counterfeit money, excessive interest, or any other means forbidden by God. In addition, he forbids all greed and pointless squandering of his gifts. What does God require of you in this commandment? That I do whatever I can for my neighbor's good, and that I treat him as I would like others to treat me, and that I work faithfully so that I might share with those in need. Three sort of headings there the Heidelberg gave us to consider the eighth commandment. The first is that it is broken by outright theft and robbery. We know this. That's the immediate thing we think about when we think of the eighth. Somebody breaks into your home. Somebody steals something. You feel violated. That's the eighth commandment. That's correct. In my time that I have when I'm not doing anything important, I sometimes read the 27th Annual Retail Theft Survey. No, I'm just kidding. But I did read it this week. Did you know that in 2014, 27th Annual Retail Theft Survey, I didn't even know they did this. Over 1.2 million shoplifters and dishonest employees were apprehended by just 25 large U.S. retailers. Participants, 25 large retail companies with 23,250 stores and over $700 billion in retail sales. Apprehensions, 1,272,560. Shoplifters and dishonest employees were apprehended in 2014, up 7.1% from 13. Recovery dollars, over $225 million was recovered and apprehended from apprehended shoplifters and dishonest employees, up 10% from 2013. Shoplifter apprehensions, 1,192,000 shoplifters were apprehended in 2014, up 7% from 13. Recovery dollars, over $159 million was recovered from apprehended shoplifters. Employee apprehensions, 80,366 dishonest employees were apprehended in 2014. Dollars over $66 million from employee apprehensions. One in every 38 employees was apprehended for theft from their employer in 14. I realized the problem years ago when a friend of mine had a mom who was very well-to-do in society and was very well-known, had everything she ever needed, and was busted for shoplifting. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, what in the world is that? I guess I now understand what a kleptomaniac is. It was shocking to me. I had a hard time processing that. There was something about the thrill of stealing that overcame her. It's interesting that maybe the Eighth Commandment doesn't get as much serious treatment today as it does as it did in the days of Israel, because the stealing of people was much more common in those days. And maybe the Eighth Commandment had a lot more to do with that than we realize in biblical times and understanding in Israel's days the Eighth Commandment of trafficking. It's all over Exodus. He who kidnaps a man and sells him, and we're looking to, we're applying this to slavery, or if he's found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. And you have other verses that warn against kidnapping people. We call that human trafficking. It's interesting when the categories of law are mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to listen to this. I'm going through some of the ways this is broken here up front to help you understand the commandment. The law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the holy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers. Interesting, isn't it? Kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. You know what the estimated number of human people trafficked around the world was? It's 21 million, most of it sexually, for sexual trafficking. Well, that's the first kind of category that Heidelberg gives. The second, it gives cheating or swindling our neighbor, and you know all the forms that can come. I doubt you ever think about stealing a heart, do you? You ever thought about stealing a heart? It's all over the scripture. When Jacob cheated Laban, you know what Laban said? What have you done? Why have you stolen my heart? You've stolen my heart, carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword. Who can forget Absalom standing by the gate stealing the hearts of the people? And we do this all the time. Manipulation and craft to win, to get people to our side. Could be for money, it could be for support, could be for our cause. We have no real interest in them, we use them, and then once that is accomplished, we're done. You've stolen their hearts. It's theft. It's going on in the political process right now. You have a bunch of candidates trying to steal hearts. It's hard to judge a heart, is it, to know if it's honest. Cheating and swindling our neighbors for gain. Governments for the rich are no better. You can go through the scriptures and read about all the ways that the scripture condemns the accumulation of wealth to squelch out the poor. We're living that. Just read Isaiah 5. Woe to those who join house to house. They just keep buying more and more houses. They add field to field till there's no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. They squelch out all the poor. It's theft, God says. Jesus cried out when he said, the wages withheld from workers cried out. And their cry has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Think about all the wages that are withheld, and people are unfairly paid for their work. Cheating on taxes. Estimated number of people who cheat on their taxes? 1,625,000. Amount lost annually to the U.S. Treasury due to unreported income. Ready for this? $270 billion. Amount annually paid by the IRS to people who turn in tax cheaters. It's over 5 million. Usury is always a debate in history in the churches about usury. Could you do it? Could you charge at interest? Notice the Heidelberg says, excessive interest. You know when you're taking your neighbor. I could keep going. Somebody sells something deceitfully by making the product to look a lot better than what it really is. It's not true. Tonight, the third category that's here seems to be the driving force behind the others that are listed. A breaking of command, it comes down to greed and squandering of God's good gifts. Notice that's emphasized here. Greed. When you are greedy, you're constantly desiring more and more of something that you don't have. Storing up and laying up of treasures here where moths and rust destroy. Serving, as Jesus said, mammon and God. How much of people's lives are driven this week by the dollar? Driven by the dollar. Money is life for people. So have I convinced you a little bit of the problem, I'm hoping? I could do a lot more, but I don't want to spend all the time going through statistics. This sin will lead to a bunch of other sins, covetousness. They're so intricately tied together, the eighth and the tenth commandment. Deceit, envy, hatred for your neighbor. I mean, you really do see how all the commandments are weaved together. They really do all flow together so that when James says you break one, you break them all. So I hope I've convinced you somewhat of the problem tonight. A thief obviously has much more going on in his heart. And we've looked at this with the commandments. The commandments are really probing and getting to the root of the problems, as the Heidelberg talks about. God hates the root of these problems, and that's tonight what we're looking at, especially when it comes to the issue here dealing with Achan and his theft and covetousness. I believe it's helpful tonight to see how serious the Lord took the problem and feel the weight of the severity of it in the Old Covenant to see, and you noticed the difference there in reading the implications and consequences in the Old Covenant of how the judgment was meted out to say that wouldn't have fared real well for any of us in the Old Covenant, would it have, had we wanted to pursue these things without coming to the Lord in repentance and faith. And I think what you're probably initially shocked with as you read the passage tonight was the severity of the judgment that was meted out. That at least really hits us when we need that because of our insensitivity and the lack of taking sin seriously. We read the Psalms at times and it talks about God bringing judgment on the head of enemies and we kind of cringe back and we don't anymore really feel the weight of the offense of sin against God. That's why we need to study these things and understand what it's exposing about the human heart. When God put Israel under the law, as we've been studying, it was meant to be a teaching tool for the world to understand this, to understand the severity, the gravity, the weight of sin, and the problem. And that's what we're considering tonight with regard to the eighth and somewhat the tenth commandment in light of the sins of Achan. Consider it with me for a moment. We read in verse 1 of chapter 7, that the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. Interesting. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Just a few days ago, they had entered the land by crossing over the Jordan, and coming into the promised land, they had their very first great victory. We know here in looking back at Jericho, and we see Jericho's fall. The walls had come down. Finally, after this 40 years, they were now entering into, after hard wilderness life, they were entering into the land. They had conquered Jericho, and now they set out for little Ai. Should have been an easy victory. They said, no, you don't need to send very many. So Joshua sends 2,000 or 3,000 to destroy them. We read that Ai comes back and had driven back Israel, killing 36 of Israel's men. So frustrated and devastated was Joshua and the elders, an intense moment of fasting and sorrow begins. I mean, you heard Joshua's cry where he reads, oh Lord, what he says, praise, what can I say? What can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? Would that we have been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and surround us and cut us off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name? You hear the pain in all of this. And the Lord comes along and says, stop it. Let me tell you what's happened. Let me tell you what's happened. Someone has stolen. Did you feel the weight of that? Somebody has stolen in the community. And you notice here that the Lord's here, the anger's fallen on Israel. You see this principle in the New Testament when the Lord said, I want you to exercise church discipline. This is on his mind because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's why you got to do it. Really important when looking at the sin of Achan. But this issue is directly here dealing with the eighth commandment. That's why I chose it tonight. For somebody stole of the devoted things. It's an interesting thing, the accursed things, to which we all should stand back and say, well, what is that? Why is that so bad? And the simple answer to that is that during the conquest of the land of Canaan, the Lord would designate a place or a people to be put under the ban and be devoted to Yahweh. It's what we call harem warfare, meaning to devote to destruction. So, wherever or whoever the Lord directed them to go to at his instructions, they were to put them under the ban and devote them to destruction. And here Jericho and the surrounding cities received that ban. When God cleansed the land, wanted the land cleansed by Israel, nothing impure was to be left in there.
Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Once again, here's Pastor Chris with a look ahead to tomorrow's program.
Joshua has Achan, the things that he has stolen, his sons and his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, everything brought to the Valley of Achor, meaning trouble, and everything is stoned and then burned with fire. Well, that may be hard to comprehend for a moment, to understand the severity of the judgment for this. But I think we need to understand it. I think we need to appreciate it. What was God teaching Israel? And what's God teaching us? Listen to Joshua's question. Alas, O Lord, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan only to deliver us in the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. Some translations say, if we had just stayed there, why'd you ever bring us out? Just is going to happen. To which you say, well, what is the Lord teaching? The act of bringing us out was intended to bring out a lot more that Israel could not bring out. What do I mean? They could not bring Egypt and the world out of their hearts.
That's tomorrow with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us then for Abounding Grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.